It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Yes, from the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Chris, back from a vacation.
You're yes.
All bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. How you feeling?
Good.
Refreshed?
Vacation was great, man.
Kinda, so, sorta?
I mean, if it were anybody but you, I'd still be on vacation. I'm just telling the truth.
Well, thanks for cutting it short a little early so we can come back and spend the next 3 hours breaking down the Red Sox Orioles, the debut last night over at Fenway Park as sports has returned. What do you think about Kevin Pillar's debut and Nathan Eovaldi going into the sixth inning? What do you think about J.D. Martinez batting second? Like, I can't imagine a bigger hell than actually trying to, like, break down Red Sox Orioles. And I know, hey, yay, sports are back. Hey, baseball's back. But I have a steadfast rule, and that is I'm not going to pay attention to a Red Sox Orioles game ever in the middle of July, whether it's we finally get sports back after 3 or 4 months or whatever the hell it is in this hell that we're now living in, or if it's regular life.
You didn't enjoy that game, man? I mean, I had
dinner reservations last night. I wasn't like, really? Oh, I got to get in front of a TV so I could watch Red Sox Orioles. Like, get the F out of here.
So we're the opposite.
I'll catch up with the highlights. You can tell me about it later.
So we're the opposite in this regard. I'm like, oh man, you know, I've been off like all week. Jim's going to be all like ready to go. I'm like, I got to. You know, so I went and I missed probably the first couple of innings, but I went back and, like, you know, DVR'd it and watched it and watched most of it. And then I had missed the Celtics, so I DVR'd that.
So that I DVR'd and watched.
NBA TV, and I was watching that at like 2 in the morning because I'm like, well, I know we're going to talk about this and Jim's going to be all ready to go and I've been out of the mix and you're pretty much like, F that. I have dinner reservations.
I did. Yeah, I'm going to live my life just as I normally would.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry. They had dinner reservations last night with the wife. It was a beautiful night.
Yeah.
Had some wine, you know, and dinner, and catch up with the score later. Like, you know,
good for you, Jim.
I mean, again, it's a steadfast rule of mine. If it's Red Sox Orioles,
about the baseball reporters?
Catch
though?
Up with me. I'm just sitting there. Like Joe Murray. But hey, it's back. I will say, from a presentation standpoint, I mean, I caught a little bit at the end, and
yeah,
and I saw some of one of the scrimmage games that they had against the Toronto Blue Jays on Thursday. I'll give him credit. Like, it ain't that weird. The only thing that is weird, so on the debut of MLB on Thursday night, I watched a bit of Dodgers Giants. I was initially for the cardboard cutouts, the fake fans.
Yes.
I'm out. I'm out on that. Little too weird. Little too
dystopian?
Yeah, dystopian horror movie type of feel with, like, the smiling faces looking right at you. Mary Hart there, who's typically at all the Dodgers games. Now there's the cardboard cutout of Mary Hart. Like,
does it have the legs or no?
No, it's just, like, torso up.
Oh.
It's just too strange looking. And then when I was watching the game Thursday night a bit, the Red Sox Blue Jays one, I was like, the empty seats. I don't like looking at the empty seats. There's got to be something there. Maybe tarp it. Maybe put in the fake fans. Now that I've seen the fake fans, I'm out. The empty seats are fine. But the overall production, the hum of the crowd that's not there, I think they've done a really good job. So if nothing else, like, I give credit to Nesson for the production of the whole thing. Like, it does at least sound and kind of feel as much as it possibly can at like a real game, like in a real event. So that's really been the one standout to me for the bit that I have seen. I'm not shocked that they, you know, pounded out a win like that they did over the Orioles. Like, that's a wretched team. We were going over a little bit yesterday on Felger and Maz about that team's roster and the starting lineup for game one. Like, they're wretched. Like, the Red Sox should win this game in any game that they play against the Orioles. And now they're probably going to make the playoffs, too, as they've expanded the whole thing. So you've been off all week. Some of the things we got to catch up with, like that, yeah. MLB expanding the playoffs by 6 games. Cam Newton arrives. I think it's newsworthy that this Chiefs guard, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, opted out of the season, because I think you're going to be hearing more about that, and these guys opting out of COVID. So we'll start wherever you want there, Chris.
Well, let's talk about what you're talking about with baseball last night and just the presentation of it, because I do have to say the juxtaposition between the MLB presentation and the NBA. I found myself watching that OKC Celtics game and forgetting that it was happening in COVID times. In other words, I didn't miss the crowd. They did such a good job with the signage and the setup that when you're watching the action that's just happening on the court, it doesn't, like, you forget. Like, to me, it felt like just a regular game or maybe a souped-up summer league game. I didn't feel like I was watching something that was happening during extraordinary times, where with baseball, I did. And it was jarring for me, sort of the disconnect between, I, like you, enjoyed the low hum. I'm all about that. The background noise, sort of the white noise of the crowd, that was great. But I was watching in the seventh inning, and Austin Bryce struck out one of the Orioles, and they did, like, the crowd noise. And it was, like, this huge roar, like a walk-off grand slam for, like, just a regular strikeout. And as he's walking to the dugout, all I see are a sea of empty red seats. And it was just, like, really jarring to me. They need to figure out something. I originally was against what Fox is doing, which is digitally projecting the fans into the stadium. I'll be interested to see how that goes today. It's a Saturday, so the Fox Saturday game of the week. But they have to figure out something, because you can't have these, like, video game sounds. First of all, I thought the sound was, like, way off. Like I said, that strikeout was like, and instead it sounded like, you know, basically the Red Sox had just won the 2004 World Series. It was really jarring. And then, again, to hear that noise and just see empty rows of seats, they're going to have to come up with something. So that was bizarre. And I'm not knocking MLB. I think they have a real challenge. It's probably more challenging for them using bigger stadiums, bigger, you know, a bigger edifice than you would for an NBA game or the NHL. But it's just really bizarre to hear the noise and hear the crowd and then see that it's just this cavernous, empty stadium.
Yeah, it's going to take a while for them to work out the kinks, and that's fine. Like, you know, some of those sound screw-ups, that's bound to happen.
But it's not even a screw-up. I just think whatever they're using, you know, people have said the Bundesliga and the EPL, I know that they're using stuff from EA Sports for that overseas. Whatever the sound they're using, I guess it's from MLB The Show, I think.
Okay.
It just doesn't seem to be proportional. It just seems like it's one size fits all. So in other words, you know, if J.D. Martinez hits a 3-run home run, that's the same roar for Austin Bryce striking a guy out in a 13-2 game in the seventh inning. It's not proportional. It doesn't seem real. Because I'm looking at it and I'm like, first of all, who's Austin Bryce? Yeah, I'm joking. I know who he is. But second of all, it's like, okay, he struck the guy out, but it's like he came into a tie game with the bases loaded and nobody out and got out of a jam. That's what it sounds like, instead of just, you know, a regular strikeout.
It should be scaled. Like,
yeah,
it's not
scaled.
Yeah, there should be, you know, levels of cheers,
yes,
and boos. So that they're going to have to figure out. And I think they're going to have to work the kinks out with that. Yeah. But overall, I've been kind of pleasantly surprised. It doesn't feel too weird.
Okay.
And I'm with you on the Celtics scrimmage. So that I did fully watch. I watched some of it while we were on the air, and then I DVR'd it and watched it last night. And, you know, yeah, it's maybe because I've just, you know, baseball's like my fourth sport, as I've mentioned a million times. Like, it's the way the sport moves anyway, like, I don't know, my eyes are kind of all over the place, especially when a pitcher's waiting and waiting and looking to throw in. It's like, oh, Jesus, I'm like looking at the background. That's why, like, there's not enough going on. NBA, I don't know, I'm truly focused on the product that's on the court, so I really didn't miss it. I think they have done a pretty good job with how they've surrounded the court. If I had a couple of little nitpicky things just in terms of the presentation, the out-of-bounds, I think, should be painted a different color.
Okay.
Because it's all floor and it's just the lines, so that's a little weird. And I didn't really like the lighting. It looked like it was too dark. It does feel like they're truly in like a small gym to me. I think
they're
going to work on the lighting.
I think
just
that's kind of like, I mean, to me, it wasn't all that different from what they have at TD Garden and in Madison Square Garden. This idea that it's sort of like theater in the round lighting.
Yeah.
The idea that everything, the court is illuminated and everything else is sort of dark, so the attention's on the court. Like, honestly, I found myself, you could hear the squeak of the sneakers and all that stuff that I think you hear anyway. I found myself, like, halfway through the first half being like, oh my God, I completely forgot this is in some random facility in Orlando and there's no fans. It, like, just watching the players focusing on the action on the court. It's like, let me put it like this. I felt like the MLB setup was distracting in ways. I'm like, this is weird. There's no. I found myself looking at the empty seats.
Yes, me too.
Whereas with,
yeah.
And with the NBA, what they did, I found myself focused solely on the action on the court.
Same. Yeah, that was okay. The way. Yeah, and I think it's just, it's more, for me, I think it's just because I'm more of an NBA fan than I am of Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm more tuned into the sport.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to see how they looked, and I don't know. Like, I get it. It's just a scrimmage. You don't have Kemba Walker out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going full tilt, but, man, they looked rusty. Like, Daniel Tice, to me, was clearly the best player on the floor for the Celtics. Defensively, it seemed like Steven Adams could do whatever the hell that they want. He wanted. They were getting killed in the glass. And so those kind of things, like, I just think that's part and parcel of what the Celtics are. Like, they don't have a lot of size. They're going to get killed on the glass. Like, there's things there that I was like, yeah, that's some rust. But how much of this is really what they are, too? I thought that game was... Not again, it's a scrimmage. I get it. You're going to take it with a grain of salt, but I didn't feel great after watching
that. No, me neither. I'm completely with you on that. And I do want to. So, my big takeaway from that game was everything you just said, but just projecting forward to the playoffs. If you're getting abused by Steven Adams and Darius Bazley and Danilo Gallinari, who was sort of, you know, even though he didn't shoot that well, was sort of breaking them down as a big guy off the elbow and off some pick and roll stuff. Man, that's a scary thought when you swap out those guys for Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and even Al Horford, who comes off the bench in the new lineup for Philly. And I thought Philly looked really good against Memphis. Ben Simmons even hit a three. That was my big takeaway. It's like, oh, man, you got to avoid Philly at all costs, because if you're getting abused by Steven Adams to the tune of 17 points and 7 rebounds in 20 minutes, which was the first half because they adjusted the time, and Gallinari's, you know, breaking you down in terms of making passes from the elbow, what's it going to be like when it's Simmons and Embiid? That was not good. I'm sure we'll get into this later, too, but I thought it was interesting watching Jason Tatum, and I thought Mike Gorman had some interesting comments about Jason Tatum during that scrimmage. Not anything bad, but it was something that I shared. Like, I was looking at it, too, and I had the same thought as Mike Gorman.
All right. Well, there's stuff to dissect from last night's Celtics scrimmage, the loss to OKC. The Red Sox, the season opener against the Orioles, will break it down here the next 3 hours. What do you think about J.D. Martinez batting second? Nathan Eovaldi, should he have gone out for the sixth? Like, I can't help myself. I mean, it's nice that it's back, but, like, breaking down Red Sox Orioles, like, please. I can't do what I won't. But if you want to talk about the game and the return and how you feel about how it all looked and sounded, have at it at 617-779-0985. As you can tell, I'm pumped that baseball's back. It's Gasper and Murray. Good morning, everyone, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, I mean, these weight rooms only have so many weights. I think that there's we're going to have to do better as a team. You know, obviously, I thought Ennis did a pretty good job when he was in there, but he didn't play against Adams a ton. We were playing against them in a normal game. We may have, mirrored those minutes better than we did. But, you know, he obviously hurt us, and that strength and that physicality is a problem. Good news is I don't think nobody gets any stronger than Steven Adams. So that's at least a good thing for us.
Celtics coach Brad Stevens talking about last night's scrimmage over the Oklahoma City Thunder, or against the Oklahoma City Thunder, rather. They lose 98-84. I think there's some things you can take away from this game. Some, I mean, you got to take with a grain of salt because it's a scrimmage. And it felt like a scrimmage at times. There's obviously some rust coming off the Celtics, but there's some things that I saw, Chris, that I just don't think you can change. It's their lack of size. They get abused by Steven Adams in this game. Defensively, it wasn't a strong game for them. It was a bombs away type of performance from Marcus Smart again. I don't think that's going to change, but there's some positives too. Robert Williams looked pretty good. I thought that Daniel Tice was the best player on the floor. If nothing else, it was just nice to see the Celtics in action, and it feels like, okay, they're finally working their way back. But you said that there was something that really stood out to you when it came to Jason Tatum, rather.
Yeah, I just thought, going back to the way he looked at the beginning of the season, and we all talked about the muscle he had added and how solid he looked, I thought he looked skinnier, and I thought he looked less defined from a physical stature standpoint. And at one point, Mike Gorman commented and said, oh, you know, there's something about Tatum that's different. You know, he looks different. And Scal kind of played it off as, oh, it's, you know, it's the beard. He has a fully grown beard and it's the haircut. And Gorman didn't really press it, but he kind of was like, no, it's more than that. And I was like, I'm thinking the same thing. Like, he looks kind of skinny and he doesn't look like he has the same muscle definition he had when he was lighting it up back in February and in early March before the shutdown. And, you know, I'm not knocking him, but it is interesting to sort of look at that. And I'm curious what happened. Was it a different diet? Was it the fact that gyms were closed? He couldn't lift the weights. I also thought he didn't have the same explosiveness. Now, I think that was mostly rust and it will come back. But there had been so much talk, I thought, when the year started about his body, about how solid he looked, how muscular he was, you know, really built for the full 82. And his ability to sort of physically impose himself on players. I mean, I looked at his build and he looked closer to Jaylen Brown than sort of what I saw at the beginning of the year, which was a guy who, you know, really looked like a power forward in a lot of ways, a modern NBA power forward, just from a build standpoint, and he was small ball four. So that sort of stood out to me. And I thought it was interesting that Gorman commented on it. Again, Scal kind of poo-pooed it, but I do think there's a little something there. He doesn't look like he's quite in as good of shape as he was before.
Anything else that stood out in terms of negatives, positives? You know, Marcus Smart, yep. I thought, struggled to shoot. It looked like it was a little too much bombs away. Were you like I was on that there was things that you saw that it's like, oh, this is just, even with the layoff, like there's the still, you know, the same issues that they had. Lack of size, too many guys taking too many dumb shots like Marcus Smart. Anything else like that you felt like, oh, this isn't going to change and this is why they should maybe try to avoid or do their best to try to avoid the Philadelphia 76ers in terms of a size aspect in the first round?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, just watching Gallinari sort of operate in terms of his ability to distribute the basketball as a bigger guy. Again, you're going to see Ben Simmons and Steven Adams, I thought, was basically a man amongst boys in the game. And, that, you know, that's a little scary when you're talking about Embiid. You know, overall, the deficiencies we've been concerned about with the Celtics are still there from a size standpoint. And the other thing, again, you know, I don't want to overplay it, but, you know, Tatum, he was just rusty. There were some unusual turnovers, like dribbling the ball off his leg on a fast break, you know, getting by guys, not having the same explosiveness. If Kemba Walker is not going to be 100%, and we'll see, you know, again, everything's, the Celtics are back to being really rosy with the injury thing, but I'm sorry. I mean, I've heard this story before, whether it's, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, Kevin Garnett, Isaiah Thomas, like whatever it is, they have a tendency to downplay these injuries. And the fact that he was off for 4 months and he comes back and he needs to be on a minutes restriction and he's missing these scrimmages and it's like every other day in practice, that's disconcerting to me. And so if he's not going to be the full Kemba Walker, or even if he's just going to be the guy he was before the shutdown, who was shooting, you know, 30-something percent from the field and 31% from three, then you need Tatum playing the way he was. So Tatum has to get up to speed quickly. Again, I'm not trying to panic here, but I will say this, and you can accuse me of overreacting. I think with Tatum, maybe a little too much golf and not enough focus on ramping up as quickly as possible.
No.
And maybe that sounds absurd to say off of one game, but it's not just the way he played. It's the way he looks. It was his body. It was, I felt like he was like missing that explosiveness he normally has, and being a little bit skinnier and just the whole deal, because there's not a lot of time here. There's not a lot of time. And the other part of this is that it's not like they just started playing basketball. You go back to June, there were the individual workouts. They were in Orlando for a little while with a training camp before you play these scrimmages. I just would have hoped and I would have thought, Jim, that he would have been further along at this point.
Well, that's been the complaints and concerns by many, is that is Jason Tatum locked in? Where is his focus? Because you've seen,
I think he's
heard,
focused. I just think physically he's behind.
Yeah.
I don't, like, it's not an effort thing or a focus thing. Like, I don't think he doesn't care.
Well,
he does
ramping up to it, though, like you say, oh, how much golf are you playing?
Yeah.
Are you spending too much time doing that? We had heard that he's been out at Core Golf. Great place, by the way. Maybe practicing a little bit too much of his game there, then, you know, putting in a little bit more work to get prepared for the startup down in the bubble. I think that was a fair thing to ask.
Sure.
That's been talked about now for weeks, and I think that's right to bring it up.
I mean, look at Enes Kanter's body. Like, you know, people are going to say, well, what do you want him to do? Gyms are closed. Okay, but look at, you know, Nikola Jokic. Look at the way he changed his body. Look at Kanter. I mean, Kanter has a
six-pack.
Look at Jaylen Brown.
Like, awesome,
like, there were ways to not only stay in shape, but improve your shape. And I'm not saying Tatum's out of shape, but I really liked the shape he was in during the season, and he doesn't look like he's in that same shape.
Yeah, and I think that that's you know, a little bit concerning watching that too. Yeah. I watched a little bit of I think it was one of the Clippers scrimmage the other night too. I think that the product overall in the bubble is going to be sloppy in those first few games, or maybe for the first couple of weeks. Like, that's just going to be a given, I think, in any of these sports you watch. I mean, look, it's these guys probably have been a little bit lazy. They probably haven't, you know, maybe focusing too much on golf. Like, I think you're going to see this in any of these sports. The first few weeks are going to be a little less than.
Yeah. No, you're right. And you, again, like I said, you know, you don't want to overreact, but, you know, you're asking for my takeaways from that game, and that's that was part of it. I put it in the context of, if Kemba Walker is not 100%, then the Celtics need the Tatum they had at the end, who was a dominant player, and they don't have a lot of time for him to get back to that. You know, that's the thing. Now, it could all change. If Kemba suddenly is able to play, and he's able to play in this compact schedule, which I feel like people are not talking enough about. I mean, it's basically going to be every other day here, and how does that knee respond? So they need him to be able to do that with this compact schedule. If he is able to respond, then Tatum has a little bit more time, and he doesn't have to carry the team as much. Another thing that I noticed sort of last night from a positive standpoint with Tatum was he threw a couple of outstanding passes to Gordon Hayward, really bookending the half. The first one was a backdoor cut to Hayward for a layup, and the other one was at the end of the half. It was a cross-court pass for a wide-open three. That's something I think we saw from Tatum throughout the season. I don't think people have talked enough throughout the season about his improvement as a passer. I know I mentioned this before, and you know, we had somebody call up and be like, he's averaging like whatever, you know, 3.5 assists a game. It's not the numbers, it's the plays you're able to make, and he's able to make those plays. So I think even if he gets off to a slower start from a shooting standpoint, teams are still going to come at him, and they're probably going to double him. And if he can make passes like that, that will really help the Celtics. So that was a real positive, I thought, on the Tatum front. Another negative, I'd read all these stories about Gordon Hayward and, you know, how great he was feeling, and also he looked like, to me, like, it's almost like, where's the lift? You know, I was watching him, like, where's the explosiveness, the lift that he had before? You know, again, that's probably all these guys just coming back, but he looked a little tentative. Like, I felt like it was a little bit like last year's Gordon Hayward.
We kind of feel like he was in the way at times.
Yeah, like, that's, I was like, what's going on here? Like, you were, you know, everyone's telling me how great you feel, and you looked good before the shutdown, and now I feel like we've gone back to, you know, 2018, 2019 Gordon Hayward, which you can't have again if Kemba Walker is hurt. So some question marks there for the Celtics. Obviously, really small sample size, but the overall takeaway is they still have issues defending size, and they have to ramp this up like quickly, particularly from the standpoint of your three games behind Toronto. If you do want to avoid the Sixers, if you do want to avoid Indiana, let's see what's up with Domantas Sabonis. He left the bubble with this foot injury. Can he come back or not? That would make a big difference. But I would like to see them play Brooklyn or Orlando in the first round as opposed to the Sixers or the Pacers, because I think with this whole weird setup, they could be ripe for an upset in that first round if they have to play those teams and they're not able to get up to speed quickly and they don't have a healthy Kemba.
Did you watch the Celtics scrimmage last night? Or did you watch it, I guess, yesterday evening, or when I catch up with it on DVR? Some takeaways you might have had from that. 617-779-0985. It was good to see the Celtics back in action. Yes, I know. Baseball started up last night, too, for the Boston Red Sox as they pounded out 13 runs over the Orioles. And shame on me, apparently, that I didn't pay all that much attention to it. We'll get to that next, as I've been shamed. Oh, shamed. Shamed by one of the media members in town. We'll get to that next here on Gasper and Murray.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And a payoff pitch to Ruiz. And struck him out. And that's the ball game. The Red Sox win this one handily on opening day 2020 as it finally gets underway, and the Red Sox pound out a 13-2 victory over the Orioles. Nate Eovaldi with the victory. Chaim Bloom going to be delighted with that result in game number one.
So yeah, the Red Sox opened up the season last night with a riveting 13-2 win over the Baltimore Orioles. Nate Eovaldi, 6 shutout innings in his opening day debut. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Here's a little spice added to the show this morning.
Yeah. People are not happy with us. They feel like we're being too negative.
Yeah, people, huh?
We just, people. I know what you're talking about, but there's also, like, another mention here. So, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, really? You'll have to fill me in on that?
Yeah, I'll fill you in on that.
Excellent. Well, as much to the chagrin of Chris many times here on Saturday mornings, I keeps it real. and sometimes Keeping It Real goes wrong. And I make no apologies for that. I started today's show saying I went out to dinner last night. I lived my life on a Friday night. Shame, shame, shame. I didn't base my night on being in front of a television, being bored to death by the Red Sox game. Shame, shame.
It wasn't a boring game, though.
Shame. Sports are back and you didn't watch. Shame, shame. As I was alerted by my good pal Chris Gasper right around 21 minutes ago, Tom Caron, Nesson, longtime Red Sox reporter, tweeted, I'm an at Big Jim Murray fan. But to come on this morning and say he didn't watch any of last night's Red Sox game, the first game played by one of the big four teams in town in the last 4 months, is a joke. Be better at 98.5, the Sports Hub. Ooh, all right. Throw in the at mention of the employer, too. See where you're going for there. Met Tom once. Seemed like a nice enough guy.
He's a great guy. He is, yeah. I really enjoyed talking to him during... We were sitting next to each other during a lot of the intra-squad games, and it was... fun to chop it up with him. He's a humorous guy, good guy. A little saucy today, but great
guy.
Yeah,
clearly. Also, and so now it's, it being the sewer that is Twitter, it's like, oh, it's on, oh, media on media crime, and rah, ooh. Tom responding to some people that have, now tried to have us, go at each other. If you follow me, I know I tweeted about them while watching the games. Watch the knockout stage tonight. We're paid to, in all caps, watch the games. He's paid to cover the local teams. Usually that involves watching them. And I get it. Look, he's been involved with the Red Sox a long, long time. Can understand why he's a little bit cross about it.
Well, you did. You didn't watch it live, but you did go back. It's not like you're not informed on the game.
Correct. Yes. Yes. And that's pretty much how it's been with me and baseball for years, plural now. You think I'm sitting in front of a TV and watching 162 over my dead body. The other thing is this, too. And again, I understand where he's coming from. It's like, he's very Red Sox involved, and it's almost perhaps a looked at as a slap in the face to old Tom. I will say this, though. I've been at, as a broadcaster in radio, 23 years and counting. You think it's all luck? Or maybe my wit and instinct on what works has actually gotten me this far. And here's what I know in 2020, Tom and anyone else. Baseball talk on the radio, for the most part, is death. It doesn't work. Do you know how many calls we have on the board right now about last night's Red Sox game?
How many?
That's silence. That's silence. Because that, my friend,
there we go.
That, my friend, is what baseball is in 2020. So I can catch up with the box score and watch the highlights and then fake it like I have the last 3 years when it comes to talking about that team and still be able to be part of the highest rated show in America. So I don't need to be talked to and finger wagged to by any of the media nanas. And a tweet like that is also why I can tell you, the audience, who I actually care about.
He is part of the audience, and we do.
Why I'll never be part of that club. I don't ever want to be part of the stuffy media club. It's why I get my backup when Felger else said, you're part of the media. No. I'm a radio guy who's a sports fan, but you didn't watch the Red Sox. Well, I've dropped off on baseball because it's death to me. I think it's, for the most part, very boring. I'll be fine. I'll be just fine. I'm a radio guy who likes sports. I happen to find my way into this format, thankfully, working for this very successful station. And I've been at this 20-plus years. I kind of think I know how to do it and what works. But maybe that's just me. So we'll have to agree to disagree here, Tom. I'll watch some of the games this year. All 60? Hell no, because I want to live my life. I would like to go out and enjoy what I can during this hell time, the worst time to be alive ever, this pandemic that we're all living through. So you do you. I'll do me. And we'll have to go on from there. That's what I've got to say about that. What was the other tweet, though? Who else is mad, Chris? Is there another blue check mark that's mad at me this morning?
No, not a blue check mark. Just a listener that we appreciate our listeners. But somebody saying, no sports for 4 months and a half hour of negatives from us was one of my mentions on Twitter. And as I responded to this and I said, look, we're very happy, obviously, to have sports back. But sports have been back, depending on what kind of fan you are, for a little while. I've watched the German Bundesliga and the EPL, which concludes tomorrow. Some Champions League spots on the line. I'll be very into that. And the Revs are already into the knockout round of MLS's back. That's not to say that what happened last night wasn't significant. Opening day is always a unique New England holiday when the Red Sox start their season. But everybody wants to get back to normality or normalcy, right? And so what that is us breaking down and critiquing the game. And so that's what we're doing. The two games that, we watched, we're sort of breaking down and critiquing. The Celtics won. Again, I'm trying not to overreact. I know it's one small sample size, but it's all we have to work with. So that's what I'm talking about. And I just think to be on the radio and hand out 3 hours of participation ribbons and participation trophies even in COVID times, that's I'm not really interested in doing that. So,
yeah, my job's to entertain. I'm not, and that's the way I've always looked at it. For me, the way that it's done, like I'm not going to sit here like the breakdowns of games. That's death. Go to the if you want that. If you want to be bored to tears, then go to the other station. A list of those blowhards. You think they're watching all the games too? Please stop it. I'm here to entertain, maybe try to get some laughs, have a good time with my pal here on Saturdays. That's all. That's all I'm looking for. And based on the download numbers and listens, even on a weekend, like it's a lowly weekend, we're doing pretty damn good. And frankly, I would put this show up, but Gasper and I, against any other show on the market here or anywhere in the country. And we'll do just fine. So I think we know what we're doing. But hey,
well, you speak for yourself. I don't know what I'm doing. I just follow you. But you definitely know what you're doing.
So that's all. That's all. Not going to completely lose my mind on it. But I will say, adding a little spice to the morning. Could have used that. Thank you very much. See, now the 13-2 game last night is actually interesting to me. Now it's interesting to me. Okay, now that's very good. Getting chirped at by the local. This is why I'll never be part of the club, Chris. I don't want to be part of the club. I don't ever want to be part of it, ever. Oh, God. Like, it's just you people take it so effing seriously. Like, it's I came into this and I said it like within the first couple of weeks of working on Filigree Mass. Like, it's just another form of entertainment to me. Yes, it's the best form of entertainment because you don't know what the results live sports, but it's just another form of entertainment. It's never been some sort of sacred cow to me. Oh, the shame, boo, shame on you, Jim. How dare you? Because I'm just here to talk about it, not break it down and have, I went to the Newhouse School. I spent all my years, and now we're going to break down these games. And what do you think about J.D. Martinez being in the two slot last night? Your thoughts at 617-779-0985. That's what you get. Silence. There'll be no calls. No one really cares. No one cares. We're here to entertain, have a little fun. That's about it. That's the way I do it, and I've been pretty damn good at it for 20-plus years. That's all. Jesus. Ugh. God.
I love TC, though. You know, he's fired up. People have waited a long time. I think we're all a little ornery, you know, COVID times and different things. It's unique. It's a unique day. Obviously, it's very important for people to get baseball back. It means a lot to them. But at the same time, I think because we all were cooped up for so long, I think people have different opinions on how they want to spend their time. Knowing you the way that I know you, I would know that if it's Red Sox Orioles, and let's be honest, the Orioles are a dreadful team, and if MLB had, you know, relegation, they'd be relegated. And to be honest with you, they're sort of the poster child for why MLB maybe should have relegation. But knowing you the way I do and how cooped up you were, if you have a choice between going out to a good dinner, which you haven't been able to do, and watching in full that first game as opposed to coming back and just kind of getting the highlights and watching a few innings or whatever, I know which one you're going to do. And it's the one that you did. So, I mean, people, there are different ways people sort of spend their time now that we're hopefully responsibly and safely out and about. And, you know, that's up to the individual person how they want to spend it. You know, I thought, like, you know, in terms of breaking down the game, you know, I thought Nathan Eovaldi pitched pretty well. That was encouraging. But we also know what he's capable of. I think, really, for the Red Sox, the biggest challenge is pitching. And we're going to learn it. We're not going to learn about that on game one with Nathan Eovaldi against the Orioles. We will learn today with Martin Perez. I think we'll learn with Ryan Weber. That's what we'll learn, is how good is this pitching staff. And we know the offense is good, but you can't expect to go out and score 13 runs every night, you know, even against the Orioles. That's just not realistic. So I think ultimately for this team, the question is going to be the pitching. And it was great to have baseball back. I enjoyed the ceremony. I thought it was really interesting to see Jackie Bradley Jr. take a knee. I would be curious to know if that's something, how that would have been received, I guess, is my question, if there were fans in the stands, because I remember covering that Patriots game when people took a knee and it got nasty real fast when Jerron Harmon, Devin McCourty, James White, and co. took a knee.
Not a good day.
No,
not a good look.
Pretty nasty in the stands, and, you know, what was being said to them. So that sort of interests me from the social justice standpoint. But like I said, great to have baseball back, but I'm not sure how much you could kind of learn about the Red Sox in that first game, it being against the Orioles and having your best pitcher right now on the mound. The baseball issues that interest me, Jim, are what's up with Eduardo Rodriguez and COVID. This is a concern. I am concerned anytime you're talking about the heart. He went through the bullpen. He threw 20 pitches and was gassed. They really need him. I'm interested in that. And I'm also, I didn't have a chance to talk about this. I know you guys talked about it probably all week, but the Mookie Betts situation.
Yeah, so I actually have some insight on the Eduardo Rodriguez heart condition that was reported on yesterday by Rob Bradford over at our competitor.
See?
Informed, Tom. I'm actually informed on that, so I get to talk about that coming up next. And, you know, now that we spent the last 10 minutes or so talking about the Red Sox, let me pull up the call screener here. Oh, yeah. Well, look at that. Still no calls on the board for the Red Sox. Huh. Imagine that. Well, and to Chris's credit, he just put it far more eloquently and professionally than I just could have. And if what I've just proved over the last 10 minutes is if there's going to be a second person to probably lose it on the air here, you know who it is. We wish the other one very well and
yes,
hope that he comes
do.
Back sooner than later. He's got a lot going on there. But if there's going to be another one here at 98.5 The Sports, I'm pretty sure you know who it is now. We'll be back after this where I will discuss further on, how about that, a Red Sox player, Eduardo Rodriguez, what's going on with him and why he's still out due to the COVID, a heart issue that I know a lot about. Imagine, informed on the Red Sox. Huh. We'll get to that next here on Gaspar Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned. You're listening to Gaspar and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Our name is Gaspar Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub. So, obviously, last night, even if you didn't watch, you know that Nathan Eovaldi was the starter in the Red Sox opener over at Fenway Park. I mean, I don't need to watch to know that he had a good outing, went six innings. Six innings, didn't give up any runs. Whoa. I don't know about that. But it was scheduled to be Eduardo Rodriguez's start if he was healthy. But he was recently diagnosed with COVID-19. He was shut down to a minor health complication stemming from that. And then it was reported yesterday that the strong possibility, the affliction of what he's dealing with, the problem that's stemming from COVID-19 is myocarditis, Chris, which involves the inflammation of the heart muscle.
Okay.
And as soon as I saw this, I was like, oh, all right, I completely understand why they've shut him down, because I had this.
Really?
Yeah, like 7 years ago. And I was dealing with an upper respiratory virus. This is usually, you know, so again, COVID-19 virus stems from this. And I didn't really get a good handle on it. Kept going out, not sleeping much, working mornings at the time, getting up 4 a.m., probably drinking too much, like not taking good care of myself. So I started to have chest pains, shortness of breath. I thought it was the big one. Here it comes. I'm going to die of a heart attack in my late 30s. That's literally what it felt like. So go finally see a doctor, get the MRI, x-rays, all that. And they look at the heart and they see like, ooh, like while the doctor is looking at it, he goes, ooh, like while looking at my heart. Like probably not good when you hear that. Turns out myocarditis, very scary. And if not taken care of quickly, it can kill you. But it typically will go away within a couple of weeks if treated correctly. Thankfully, you know, in my case, that's what happened. And hopefully that's how it's going to be handled with Eduardo Rodriguez. I'm sure it will be. But reading a little bit more about it and having dealt with it, if it feels that way, shortness of breath, feels like someone's stepping on your chest, feels like you're having a heart attack, I think I can say pretty confidently, Chris, he's done. He ain't going to pitch this year.
Oh, like, really?
He's not going to come back. And even if you go to the Mayo Clinic's website or, you know, you go to any of the reputable medical websites reading about myocarditis, they say, you know, to stay away from athletics and doing anything in terms of, you know, putting your heart rate up for months, plural. I mean, this thing's only going to last for 60 games, a few months anyway, and now they'll probably get into the playoffs with the expanded playoffs. But at least for the shortened regular season, I don't think you're going to see Eduardo Rodriguez at all. If this is what he's really suffering from, they get a handle on it here in the next couple of weeks. He's not going to be able to engage in here going forward. I think he's done. You won't see him for the 60-game season.
Wow, that's interesting. I mean, I you know, that's certainly not what they're projecting. They say they're going to check in a week, but you have firsthand experience with this. That would be a devastating blow to the Red Sox to not have Eduardo Rodriguez. I mean, there's already
the
paucity of starting pitching.
What's the weak link of the team going into it anyway?
Starting pitching.
Right. So
without a question. You know, I think at some point here we'll see Zach Godley. Maybe they're going to try and piece it together beyond. I mean, right now, you know, Weber's your number three starter. And that's just shocking to me for a team like the Red Sox. They've just been snake bit. You move on from Price. in terms of that trade with Mookie Betts, which, you know, we're going to get to Mookie Betts later, obviously. You know, he sort of was the tariff the Dodgers had to pay. Chris Sale, I was down in spring training when he threw the enhanced bullpen, and they sort of kept delaying stuff, and it was like, oh, he doesn't feel great, but it's not a big deal. Boom, Tommy John. And now this with Rodriguez, that's really tough. You know, even in a 60-game season, you're going to have some sort of consistency in the rotation. And it's really scary to me when you look at it and say, who's your most reliable, durable, proven starter? Nathan Eovaldi, the guy who always gets hurt? The guy that, like, can't make it through a season? The guy that's had Tommy John twice? That had an elbow issue last year that cropped up when they were in St. Petersburg playing the Rays? I happened to be down there and missed all that time. That's the, even in a 60-game season, that's the guy you're counting on to make it all the way through the season? Ooh, that's dicey.
Yeah, because it's him, Martin Perez, and spin the wheel, right? Like, they don't really know what they're going to be doing. They're going to have these openers like how it was down in Tampa, and you hope for the best. And so, yeah, I wouldn't count on seeing Eduardo Rodriguez for the rest of the year. I know you had some thoughts from the Mookie Betts contract that he signed with the L.A. Dodgers this week, squashing any hope that he was going to come back. I know that cousin Jared Carrabas felt like, well, you know, even if there wasn't a season, ha-ha, egg on the face of the L.A. Dodgers, and Mookie will be back. I always felt like anyone that felt that way, like, hey, you're a fan, you feel however the hell you want. But that is the equivalent of, well, your girlfriend left you. She ended up with another guy, and she could leave that guy. You know, he's probably temporary, and she'll eventually find her way back to me. That's how I think a segment of Red Sox fans felt about Mookie Betts. And what do you know? That's not going to happen now. He's going to be there for a decade plus with the L.A. Dodgers. Just quickly, yeah, before you get into your bigger thoughts, yeah, of it, because we got to do the headlines, but yeah, just in terms of the money, length, yep, what, is he worth it? Was he worth that kind of Mike Trout-esque type money?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I definitely think he was worth it. And I think the Dodgers actually got a little bit of a discount because of COVID, and that obviously had an effect, just the uncertainty of the market. And, you know, I'll get into my take at the top of the hour, but I do want to say this. Look, everybody here says, oh, you know, COVID was the only reason he signed there and didn't sign with the Red Sox. Oh, no, no. I disagree. I mean, name me a guy who has been insistent that he wants to go to free agency and then ends up back with the team that he's already on. Most of the guys who end up signing, you know, they sort of forfeit free agency. Like, if they really want to be someplace, they'll make sure it happens. And the other part of this is that not only did he have an opportunity to forfeit free agency, but the whole offseason, you know, pre-COVID times, and when everything was normal, you don't think the Red Sox sort of went to him and said, look, you know, we got to make some progress here or we're going to have to trade you? Mookie Betts could have prevented being traded to the Dodgers without even signing a contract, just sort of, you know, giving an indication, okay, yeah, we
no,
can
make... I want to stay.
Yeah, that never happened. So I think a lot of people, particularly people in the media, way overselling how much Mookie Betts allegedly wanted to stay here. Huh. Way overselling it.
You don't say, huh? People around here in the media doing the biddings of the teams.
It's, you know, like the idea that, you know, maybe Mookie wanted to move on and didn't want to commit here long term. Not a trope. It's the truth. Again, not a trope. Truth. Not trope. Truth.
All right. Chris wants to expound further on that after the Sports Hub headlines here with shameful Jim Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.